Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter. My great army, which I sent against you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female slaves. In those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Listen now for God's word to you. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Jesus saw around him people who were exalting themselves. People who held others in contempt. And so he told a parable. So often that's how Jesus taught, was parables. It was in parables that he could get a message across without pointing out a particular person, without glorifying a particular person. But in this case, Jesus was seeing many people that were glorifying themselves and putting others down. And so Jesus told this parable, that those who build themselves up will not be exalted, but those who say that I need help will be exalted. For today, I want to hone in on the Pharisee. Jesus often used Pharisees because he had come to understand that the church leadership was not teaching the message of love that Jesus understood God to want preached. And so he would often talk about the Pharisees and point out what they were doing that was not for the good of the people, not for the good of the church, and not for the good of God's kingdom. He looked at this Pharisee, and this Pharisee was saying, I am so good. I am so glad I'm not like other people because I do everything right. And yet Jesus said, just by doing that, you're not doing what's right. You are called to build other people up. How often are we like those Pharisees? How often do we look around us and we see people that we don't think are doing what they should do? And sometimes it's through nothing that they can control. We judge people not always by their actions, but by the color of their skin, by their gender identity, by their gender, period, men and women. Instead of building them up, Jesus was calling us, calling the people to build them up, and yet so often we don't. Just 2 weeks ago, I read a story. I'm a graduate of Louisville Presbyterian Seminary, and Louisville just installed their first ever African-American president. And we received a magazine that had his installation sermon in it. And as I read that, it fed so well into what this scripture was, because it talks about what we as people do to harm other people. Alton Pollard III was just installed. He's an African-American man. When he was in fifth grade, his parents decided to move into a neighborhood that was all white. This was back probably in the late 50s. It didn't give a year. But it was at a time when we still had a lot of redlining, which, if you don't know what redlining is, it was a system that was in place that kept African Americans from moving into white neighborhoods. This was still going on up until the 80s. But Alton's parents made the decision to move into this neighborhood anyway, and they were hated. He went to a school that was almost all whites. It was when desegregation was just starting. But he walked to the school. But when he got there one day, he was actually out on the playground. He was attacked by some other boys. He was beat up, attacked viciously, several boys against one, and yet somehow he managed to come out of it without too much damage. The other boys were actually suspended from school for a while, but it made a difference in his life. It brought a beginning to struggle with hatred. He had been raised in the church. They were in a big Baptist church. He had taught Sunday school from a young age, not at fifth grade, obviously. But he had been raised in the church. He had been raised with that message of hate, and yet when he goes out into the world, he sees people that these young white boys probably were very active in church too, because at that time, that was back in the day when it wasn't a matter of do you go to church, but it was where do you go to church. And yet they still had that sense of hatred. As Alton grew up, that hatred became stronger. He was still active in the church, but he had a scripture that was a mantra for him now. It was Psalm 139:22, which basically says, I hate with a perfect hatred. They have become my enemies. From this action on the playground, and probably from many other actions, from being in a school that was mostly white and being treated as he wasn't as good because of the color of his skin, his hatred grew. He became actually involved in some of the more militant groups of that day. And then he went to college. And thankfully, in a college class, he was introduced to a writer called Howard Thurman. And he found a book called Jesus and the Disinherited. And he will tell you that changed his life. He began to understand religion as what it was, that it was supposed to be a message of love, not of hatred. Thankfully, he found Howard Thurman. Because of that, he got back in the church as the church should be, and now is a professor and a president of a seminary. And he actually has a son who's a minister also. But what if he hadn't found Howard Thurman? What would his life have been like? How often do how we treat people, saying to them, they are not as good as us, do we bring about a change in a person that's not for the good? And that's what Jesus was saying this day as he told this parable to people who were making themselves be better or putting themselves up as better rather than seeking to be a part of making the world a better place. So often we do this, and it's not just in the church, it's in the world, but it's especially egregious, I think, when it's in the church. We have to make a difference. Several years ago, Bill and I got a chance to go see George Takei, who some of you may remember from Star Trek. He's Japanese. Him and his parents lived in California. His mother was born in this country. She was Japanese. His father was actually born in Japan. But they were there at the time of the internments. How many of you remember the Japanese internments during the war, World War II? They had a business. They owned a home. And they were taken away. They were put into an internment camp throughout the war. When they got out, they were not given restitution for that business, for that home. They lost everything. For George Takei, it made a difference in his life. He has become a political activist. He could have become a political hater, but he's trying to make a difference to where things like that no longer happen in our country. Do you know, I was reading a thing on, actually it came on Facebook from one of my Facebook friends who is also a Presbyterian minister. She just was at a women's conference up at Princeton Theological Seminary. In spite of the fact that 50% of women are, that seminaries now are 50% women, only 38% of the ministers are women. And the pay gap for women in the Presbyterian Church is wider than it is in the general culture. Because we as the church still do not accept women as good as men. There are so many places in this world that we in the church are still not willing to accept everybody for who they are as God's children. As God's children that God loves equally. Scripture says it all the time. If you read Paul, Paul said that in Christ there is no male or female, no slave or free. And yet we in the church still are not willing to live up to that. We are so often like the Pharisee that look at people and judge them for many different standards. What difference can we make in the world if we look at everybody as equal and help them live up to it? They tell us as parents that children are going to live up to what we tell them they are. That if we raise our children to be valued people, that we tell them that they're loved and that they can be anything they want to be, guess what? The chances are good that's what's going to happen. But if we tell our children they're losers, if we treat them as they're losers, you know what? There's a good chance they're going to be. And that is what we in the church are called to do. We are called to tell everybody that they are winners, that they can make a difference in the world. Because if we do, they will make a difference in the world. If we look at our Old Testament lesson, going back to Joel, I'm sure some part of that scripture is one that's very familiar to all. Our young men and women will prophesy. Our old men will dream dreams. You know, we're beginning to see young people prophesying. We see Greta Thunberg, who is going out and telling the old people that you're destroying the world that we're inheriting. You need to make a difference. We see the survivors of the Parkland shooting that are going out and saying to the older people, we are tired of our children dying in schools. You need to make a difference. You need to do something to change this. We need to be those prophets. We need to be those dreamers. Because it is in dreaming and in prophesizing that we can change the world. I think there's a speech that many of you will remember that was just about that. It was about dreaming. Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream. I have a dream that some way, day, all of us will live together. That we'll live into that fact that our Constitution says all men are created equal. I have a dream that my four children will one day be able to hold hands with black and white together, and that they'll be judged not by the color of their skin, but by their character. Well, I have a dream, a paraphrase of that. I have a dream that in this world, one day, all people will be considered equal. Male and female, black and white, straight and gay. That we'll be judged by the character of who we are. That we'll all be able to live together in peace and harmony and love. Because that is the kingdom that God has called us to, is a kingdom of peace and love. That is a dream. And the only way that dream will happen is if each and every one of us live into that dream and go out into the world to do what we can do to make that dream a reality. That's my challenge to you this week. Go out and be prophets in the world. Amen. As I was thinking about my charge, a song came to my mind. A song that probably many of you will remember. It was one we learned in childhood. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in his sight. What a powerful message we learned as children, and yet so often as we become adults, we forget that message. My challenge to you this week, as you go out into the world, go back to your childhood, because we are all God's children. And Jesus told us that unless we become like a little child, we cannot enter the kingdom. Remember that. Jesus loves the little children. And it's not just about color. It's about gender. Gender identity, religion. Jesus loves us all. Go now and love the world. Amen.